Hello, everyone. Welcome to our next episode of our podcast. We have Pat and John and Andy with us for the next instalment in our Mountain Way podcast. Mountain Way is a charity that supports veterans with PTSD. Andy, I'm going to hand over to you to introduce our guest for this episode, if that's okay.
Hi. Yes, thank you, Lizzie. Good morning, everybody. Well, today we're honoured to have Rick with us. I say honoured because Rick was the last guest that went through the Mountain Way programme. His story is pretty phenomenal. He's come from one extreme to the other, really. So we're delighted to have him on board today. This will be the beginning of what we hope will be a series of discussions with Rick about his experiences. Without any further ado, apart to say that the thing that really impressed me about Rick, and we've helped a few people now, was his bravery and his courage in reaching out for help, which is probably the hardest thing anybody suffering from mental problems has to deal with. And of course, this has a wider context, and it's much more relevant to the whole of the population today due to the coronavirus problem than merely the military population. But Rick nonetheless exemplifies what can be achieved when you've got a problem. And he had the great courage to go on social media and put his hand up and say, I'm having problems. Can I have some help, please? He got a phenomenal response, actually, because the military community is quite close. We fortunately saw it and we responded. And very quickly we were communicating. And this led to Rick coming onto our program and to where he is today. So we're delighted to have you, Rick, on board, and to have you now as a member of the Mountain Way. So how do you feel about how it began for you, mate?
Hi, Andy. The process where you originally see my comment within a private or a secret group within the military community to start off with is it took me a hell of a lot to actually initially reach out. And the confidence in those who supported your comment allowed me to reach out further to yourself. That then started the due process of me becoming involved with the Mountain Way and then building up the rapport with yourself. Because you'd had a similar journey to me with regards to the feelings of what you do feel with regards to PTSD and the behaviors, the lack of patterns and direction in your life at that moment in time, allowed me to build that trust. And within that trust, that then allowed us to venture into the support you guys, the Mountain Way team, I then realized was a very professional organization, and there's a lot more to just Andy.
I was just going to say, yes, I'm only the coal face, basically. There's a team behind us, and it's quite a wide team now, actually, of ranging from the ladies in the supermarket who donate £5, or sometimes quite a lot more than that, actually. All the way up to the trustees who make sure we run this ethically and soundly and professionally and so on. So, yeah, there's quite a group behind all this, and it's my privilege, obviously, to be at the front. But I think that is part of what helps people overcome that inhibition is the knowledge that there's a lot of people out there who care to the point where they'll do this for nothing, as is happening right now. And that kind of caring is something that a lot of people with mental problems, isolated particularly, probably don't realize. So I think, you know, that's probably helped you a little bit once you got to talk to me, mate.
Rick, you talk about the courage and the effort, you know, and getting to the point of just asking for help. Do you assess that there's a huge number of military veterans out there who are suffering, who have just not yet come anywhere close to asking for help?
I believe there actually is, John, and I know that for a variety of reasons, because I'm on a social media myself, and I can just see sometimes in the way someone will post something that they're not actually being themselves from what you get to know. And because of the delayed period and fallout, obviously for my generation, it's the Afghanistan era, and Also, some guys are actually messaging myself regards to how they're feeling and they're starting to open up. There's obviously still a lot out there who aren't reaching out. And I can give you an example. A very good friend of mine last year took his life and he wasn't on anybody's radar whatsoever. So it just shows you that by reaching out or just letting someone know, you can start a process of starting to get help. And that's the hardest predicament, is actually reaching out, because we have a self-pride where we're normally used to looking after ourselves and being part of that team. So once you leave that type of team environment, you feel like you can't reach out because you've got a certain sense of pride.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think, you know, the sort of first stage before a sufferer even considers, you know, approaching an organization like the Mountain Way or several others who aim to assist in the same sort of space, there's a preliminary step of talking to, you know, close mates, colleagues who've been in the, you know, in the trenches, as it were, with them. You know, before, I suppose what I'm trying to get at, Rick, is give me an estimate for the size of this problem that is only seen when a sufferer sort of pops his head above water and can get help from an organisation like ours.
I think it's probably more than a third to half. If they are genuinely honest with the feelings, it's harder to look in, but you know deep down in yourself, if you're not doing your regular things and you start going on your own demise, then you know it's happening, but you don't understand why it's happening. So therefore, it might be easier for other people to see, such as the goldfish bowl analogy, where, you know, it's harder to look out, but everybody can look in and see that you're not the person you are. But I think the percentages it's got to be a third, if not 50%, John.
We don't sort of struggle unnecessarily to identify those in need, but I'm just really aware of the sheer numbers that are almost certainly out there, who aren't anywhere close to the stage where, you know, they're not even perhaps talking to their muckers. You know, they're properly internalizing everything still, and possibly have been for years. You know, makes it difficult for us to reach to them. And you know, perhaps there is that logical pathway where that needs to be a period of first opening up to their own peers, and slowly, you know, not seeing any progress, they generate the confidence and the courage to approach us.
This is a problem we haven't yet managed to crack. But the truth is, for every one guy like Rick who has the courage to come forward, I would say, I can't put a figure of ratio on it, but it must be pretty high. Let's say 1 in 100. And I base that on the fact that I've done quite a lot of collecting in Morrison supermarkets. And I absolutely guarantee that every single day I'm in a supermarket, no matter where it is in the UK, I will meet somebody who is directly involved with military PTSD. And of course, without turning it into a sort of mobile clinic in the middle of a supermarket, there are no reasons why people can't come forward. And yet not one has. And I still don't understand why that is. The bottom line is, when you've seen a chap without legs row across the Atlantic, and you look at yourself in the mirror when you've got PTSD, you feel like the biggest failure in the world. You know, how on earth is it that chap can do something incredible like that, and yet I can't go outside my house without serious emotional repercussions? And I can't perform the normal things that people take for granted without having to really think it through. You know, we're trapped inside this invisible bubble. I spent what I called about 20 years in what I called the dream bubble. I managed to isolate myself by living on an old wooden boat, basically, and just going off. No contact with the media whatsoever, nothing at all to do with the world outside, what I could see, which was a diameter of about 6 miles. And it was beautiful, but it was completely unrealistic. When I first began this, and I did a recce in 2013, I traveled all over Britain. And up in Scotland, I went to see a friend of mine called Jock, who runs Horseback UK. And he had four guys living in a little Bothy, not far from where he's based, near Aberdeen. And these guys actually really shook me rigid, because I'd never seen people so sunk as these four were. Admittedly, back then, I didn't really know what I was offering, so it was a recce rather than any sort of offer. How do we deal with this problem? Well, I think this is the way we deal with it, is people like Rick talking about, you know, what he actually experienced and how his views about himself and also the process that really does have an impact. The biggest problem I have is trying to convince people this will actually help you. I think we're all naturally skeptical. And I think one of the reasons why people prefer to go for NHS type solutions is that it's got a track record. It works, definitely.
It's fair to say that most people who approach us are from the era from the end of 2001 on, who have served and fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's very difficult to get these statistics, but we assess that the UK military veteran suicide rate now runs at one every 5 days. One every 5 days. And I that is a shocking statistic that a UK service person who's elected to serve, all those good reasons, one of them every 5 days chooses that the best option and solution is to take their own life. And our vision at the Mountain Way is to eradicate, ultimately, veteran suicide. And it's a lofty aim, but that's what we're working towards in everything that we do. And Rick, I dare say you did approach, you know, other organisations when you'd moved past the point of agreeing with yourself that you were going to request help. What is it about the Mountain Way that was effective for you?
If I just start with a year ago and now compared to the previous help I've had, you know, I've had help through the NHS. That wasn't right for me, but the significance with regards to how the Mountain Way and how the program runs and the difference that has made to me in the past year, and bearing in mind I've suffered for the past 10 years of diagnosis and obviously numerous years before that, so for people who are suffering, is knowing you can reach out, and an organization like the Mountain Way, which is unique, because the reasons it's unique is because of the team of you guys, and then with the interface with Andy is your program is designed and tailored to you, the individual. So you're not just being saying, right, we're going to pump you full of antidepressants or we're going to do this and that. You are reviewed, it's been looked through, and it's tailored to you as an individual. So anybody who's listening in and going, all right, well, I've tried this with this charity and I've tried that. Well, I've actually been there. I've had help from Help for Heroes. I've had help from Rock to Recovery. I've always gone on the coaching journey where I can. I've never been on antidepressants. And when it was sat down individually, and it wasn't just trying to say, this is how your mind works, this is how you are actually feeling. They've actually gifted, and they are gifting, their time to you as the individual. And that's what you need. It's like a massive big hug. You embrace, because to start off with, you are an introvert. You do not want to be out. You do not want to be speaking with other people. And that's the biggest thing to start off with. But if I could say to anybody listening, and it's not just because I've had help from the Mountain Way, but if I had a program like that 10 years ago, then who knows where I would be. You know, at this moment in time, probably I'd be, you know, where in 9 years' time, and I've left it 9 years, which if I'd have had it 9 years ago, the Mountain Way, then yeah, my life would be further forward 9 years. So for anybody who, and it makes me smile when I'm talking about this, and I wouldn't have envisaged that a year ago. So for people listening, people care, the Mountain Way care, and it's tailored to you as an individual.
Perhaps for the benefit of our listeners, just give a quick sort of 30 seconds on your military background, who you served with, how long for and where.
Former British commando. I served in the Royal Marine Commandos for 13 years. I specialised in two different specialisations, from communications to weapons. I reached the rank of corporal and served a lot of acting sergeant jobs. My last job was with 4-5 commando. I did Afghanistan twice, Sierra Leone twice, free anti-piracy ops. So the operational tempo was there, and I was in the years where the British military were at its highest. So I think those listening can understand that, you know, there's obviously people who've been through all that. So that's an overview of my career. I did 13 years in total, and I left 10 years ago.
If you'd like to find out more about the Mountain Way, do visit our website, www.mountainway.org. If you'd like to request more information, please do email us at info@mountainway.org and we'll send you our PDFs of information. And do follow us on social media. If you need support now, reach out to charities such as Samaritans, Mind, or your GP.
We touched last time, I think, Pat, didn't we, about on this business. Rick mentioned it there of tempo, you know, and how quickly operational tours can come around, and the gradual degradation of mental health because of tempo of operations.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I think the other thing to remember as well is, trauma and is a very personal thing. So one of my concerns, as a clinician, might be somebody listening saying, well, you know, I wasn't a Royal Marine. I didn't have these high intensity military careers. So maybe I don't deserve help. And again, I just want to dispel that because, you know, anything is traumatic to you as an individual. So again, it's this idea that, you know, don't think that you can't get help because you haven't suffered enough or because your trauma wasn't enough. You said, John, and we've talked about this before, sometimes it can be the relentless nature of military life and you don't get time to sit down and pause. You've got to be battle ready, and that's your job as you know, military personnel. So I think having that time to step out and look after yourself is important. Going back to the thing about statistics as well, veterans are overrepresented in home in drug and alcohol services. It can appear in many different ways. And what I want people to be thinking about is, do you know what, no matter what I've experienced, it's traumatic to me and I'm having problems getting around it. It could be mild to moderate depression, panic, anxiety, or it could be full-blown, really, really distressing PTSD. And, you know, we can help with all of those things because they're all interconnected. And what I really liked about Andy was the very personalized approach he was taking. He was getting to know the people, he was getting to know their experiences, he was getting to know their family. He was helping people on a very, very difficult journey because Andy doesn't just apply, you know, in a rote fashion, right, we're going to do this. This is what I think you need from what you've told me. And it's a discussion, yes, no, and you know, kind of tightening up. And then a really bespoke service. And I think Rick, it sounds like that was what really worked for you.
It was that, Pat. When I got to know Andy better, it's the feelings which I was actually, which I've gone through in the behaviours, they were all similar to what Andy had experienced. But when you put it into a whole round context, it's actually the same for anybody with depression. And picking up on what you said, Pat, about people reaching out and they might just think they've been in that high intensity and, oh, I wasn't like that, so I can't. I just want people to know what it was for me personally. It wasn't major incidents which I were involved with. Unfortunately, my cousin was killed 6 weeks after I'd just got back from an area I'd worked for 7 months in Sangin. A lot of people will know that area, and it was very challenging, if that's a word. But the things which stuck out for me, I suffered with a lot of survivor's guilt, and I want people to know that because they can then, they're not feeling like, oh well, someone else has suffered more than me. No, depression is depression. And it's on the same level. I hope that someone somewhere will reach out because it's not just them feelings.
You said that you've gone through a few charities in the NHS, and I just wondered, what was it that kept you going, that kept you hopeful that you could be supported?
There'd obviously been certain issues which I hadn't dealt with, which were underlying. And the thing which kept me going, I suppose there was something in me, there was the pride at not reaching out, but there was a pride at I still had a lot more to give in life. I'd done certain things in my life which I'd been very proud of, and I'd had a strength of mind. So if I'd had a strength of mind to achieve what I wanted to do, such as those who joined the military, they've done that, they're volunteers, they're not press ganged. And they've got that within themselves. So there was that. Then there was my daughter. There were times where I obviously didn't want to be here, and that's speaking blunt, and I'd actually had, you know, very, very serious suicide attempts. And I don't wish that for anybody to go through. The hope that life gives and the zest and the spring for life, you lose that. But there's an element somewhere where someone's belief in you, or someone just says one comment to you, which you go, yeah, they believe in me. Or, do you know what? I ain't a waste of space. I have got something to offer, like we all have. And there's just that little pinprick of light at the end of the tunnel, which people can give you. And that's what kept me going, is I kept giving myself boundaries or little things to try and achieve each time. It was just them little bits of hope which got me through. And then once I was getting the relevant help to realize, utilize them skills, and then obviously the world's a totally different place to be now.
Was there something within that Mountain Way kind of journey that helped you find those accomplishments that kept you going?
The main thing is the unique package which is put together for you. You go through differing techniques. Now, you know, I'll be honest with people, for as much as me and Andy got on, the first day that I got out to France was such a challenge. And if Andy wouldn't have tested me, and I say tested because we had a discussion one day, and it really challenged my way of thinking, and I had to be open. But at that moment in time, I still had the blinkers on. So you will be challenged. You've got to challenge your way of thinking. I've spent 2 years in the house of the past 10 years, if not longer. You're getting into a new way of thinking again. And that's the beneficial factor.
I guess that's quite common, is it, Pat?
Well, Rick made me think of one thing, and then you made me think of another. So one thing, Rick, as well, talking about trauma, I mean, you know, we as therapists, we're aware of vicarious trauma. And what we're aware of is when we spend our working day listening to people talking about what they have seen and done, it can be traumatic. So again, just being in the military context, and, you know, you gave some examples of, you know, you leave an environment, your cousin becomes, unfortunately gets killed there. And that becomes another kind of drop in the bucket that just starts to overflow. Hearing the lived experience of others in itself can be traumatic. And then, of course, then Rick, as you said, survivor guilt, that can be a very big thing. Rick was saying that made me think about one of the big things we do in therapy is we often talk about holding hope. So when service users come to see me for a variety of reasons, they often feel quite hopeless, quite helpless. And part of my job is to hold hope for them, to hold hope that recovery is possible. And through the therapeutic process, and I think Andy does it very well and very skillfully, it's about giving hope back to people. What we want is that sense of, do you know what, at this moment in time, you can't hold hope, but we're going to hold it for you. And when you're ready, we're going to give it back to you. And I think that holding of hope is an incredibly powerful thing.
I think it's worth saying just for our listeners that we are a tri-service charity. The majority of veterans that we've assisted, we've had Sandy, have come from the British Army, a wide range of service backgrounds. The core offering from our charity is a two-week tailored one-on-one program delivered by Andy with all his vast experience. And that forms the key differences for those we help. It is an intense period of one-on-one support using a variety of techniques that I'm sure Andy will describe. And he chose to deliver these packages in the beautiful environment of the mountains of the Pyrenees.
A couple of things that I say to everybody is, as far as we're concerned, the Mountain Way, there's no judgment and there are no expectations. You're not going to be judged by us. And what I do find is quite often, not in every single case, but I would say more than 50%, problems actually begin in childhood. And when we open up that kind of area, it often comes as a complete surprise to our guest. It is a challenge in a sense. But, you know, my attitude is, well, hey, look, we're in this beautiful place together. We've got no pressures whatsoever. If we can do what the hell we want, why not talk about it now? You know, and that's all there is to it. Just let it out. The other point I want to make is about this relevant sort of feeling in terms of traumatic events. There is no way we can measure pain. we can't compare one person's experience to somebody else's. My experience was pretty horrific, but I've grown used to it, and so it doesn't have any impact on me anymore, fortunately, even though this is now the anniversary, very close to it, in a few days' time, of what happened 38 years ago. But there's a natural tendency for people to look at my event, because I explain everything, and I know that they're thinking, well, you know, mine doesn't, it pales by, you know, into insignificance. That's not true. That's definitely not true. In my opinion, as Pat has just said, a problem's a problem. Generally, I think it is more than one thing, but it doesn't matter if, whatever it is. If you're experiencing the symptoms, and that's one of the only three criteria we've got. The first one is you must be a bona fide British veteran. And the government definition is if you've served in the armed forces for 24 hours or more and subsequently left, you are a veteran. The second thing is that you've been diagnosed by a competent authority, so possibly a medical officer in the armed forces, or your own GP, or somebody in the psychiatric world. And the third point, which is probably the hardest thing of all, is to convince us that you're actually going to engage in our program and you're going to give it your best shot. The moment you get these things out in the fresh air and the sunlight, they shrivel up. And that may sound a bit crazy, but it's really what happens. And it's all through the process of talking. So the Mountain Way is designed to put you into the best possible environment we can find to give you ample time, 15 days, which is only the culminating point of a 2-month program designed for that particular individual person. Just want to go back to you, Rick, and the process when we first got together was quite difficult for you, particularly because I asked you to fill in an extensive questionnaire, which was mostly tick the box. And I know that the technical problems with being in your circumstances, trying to do it on a smartphone with a cracked screen, is about the worst possible way to do it. But you managed to overcome all that. And that, from my point of view, was a huge sign of your motivation. And right from the beginning, I got the impression that you were definitely 100% motivated this. And it's that motivation that every serviceman's got. You have definitely got the ability. So all you need to do is just go back to that old way of thinking about things and plodding on. But how did it feel for you right at the beginning, mate? Was it a bit scary?
There was obviously the feelings of trepidation of going on a journey which you don't know where it's going to finish. You know from yourselves that you're saying, you know, look, there's no expectations, etc. But you have to get out of your comfort zone and you have to buy into it. If you don't, you're not going to get the help you need. You have to give your all. If you reach out for help because you want something lifting and it's too heavy for you, you're going to naturally ask for help. And that's what we need to do with regards to the mental health issues. There's no reason why you wouldn't ask someone to help you with something in that context. So with regards to going on that initial journey with yourself, we built up a rapport. There was the technological struggles to start off with. There's always somebody there to help you. You have to invest 100% because that's the whole reason you want to get better and you want to become that better version of your previous self. You know, the struggles you entail for so long can only go on for so long. So your investment, Andy, back into me, your time, with the help of the team behind you, and starting that process of being involved as a guest, then ultimately being invited on the program. And I want people to know this isn't a 2-week holiday. And you do a 3-day meet before that as well. You spend 3 days with Andy one-on-one, and it's getting to know you. It's putting the packages getting put together before you even reach France. You're investing in yourself with the aid of other people. You're not being judged, so it allows you to open up more, so you start being comfortable in what you're saying, and that's only from my perspective. It allowed me to open up, not just because of your circumstances, but actually because it were relatable.
Well, that's kind of you to say that, Rick. And that's exactly how it's based around, you know, it's based around our personalities, frankly. I mean, we're all serving personnel of one form or another, or we were rather. So we have a lot of common things. The bottom line is we're all very similar people. The process begins with basically some sort of communication. And I send documents which are about my experience in the Falklands and the subsequent PTSD journey. Now, I warn people not just to open this stuff and read it, because I'm well aware of the fact this could trigger off a reaction. So there's instructions right from the beginning on how to sort of deal with things. But the response to that tells me a great deal about the individual. If he's finding things very difficult to handle, then we've got to adjust our attitude a little bit and be perhaps, let's say, a little bit more sensitive or take things a bit more slowly. When we get to the meeting, which we call open door, but his function really is to sort of, first of all, spend some serious time together so we can get to know each other. Because what we're trying to build here is a two-way process of trust. I have to be able to trust you as much as you can trust me. And without that mutual trust, we can't really make a lot of progress. So that's a very important part of this. And again, it can't be rushed. But the ultimate thing also is to dispel any fears and myths, explain the whole thing in detail, but then finally to create that program that is unique to you. So whilst the standard techniques, if you like, don't change, what does change is the stuff that's relevant to the individual. But Open Door is as important for me as it is for you, or was for you, Rick. And I came away from that with, I don't like using figures because they can be, they're cliches really, but I would say as close to 100% confidence as you can possibly have. I had very little doubts about the outcome of this. And I went straight to my team and I said, I feel very confident here that this man has got the right attitude. He's got all the attributes we need and he's very, very motivated. And it was subsequently, even now where you are on your journey, I know it still takes a bit of effort to talk about these things, and particularly in a public forum. So thank you very much, mate.
I was just thinking, as Rick was speaking, you know, this idea of veteran peer support, it's been around for a long time, you know, where basically veterans are skilled up to support other veterans. What normally happens is you have a group of clinicians or an organisation that provide a service and then they get some veterans in to be skilled up in, you know, skilled helpers. And actually one of the things that is different about the Mountain Way is actually it's created by a veteran for veterans. And then people like myself have come in as the experts to support that. It's kind of turned a traditional model on its head. And it was really nice hearing Rick say what he said today, because I just think it's real proof in the pudding that the approach that you've created, Andy, and the way you've found a solution to the problem is really innovative. It's, you know, all based in good practice and the evidence. It's nothing that, you know, statutory services don't do. But actually, it's wrapped around you as a veteran peer support expert, as opposed to you being brought in as a peer support. I think the Mountain Way is another good example where people who've experienced something can use that to create something really quite amazing for others.
Thanks, Pat. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Rick, just a quick one. If there's someone listening today that's on the start of their journey, is there anything that you'd like to say to them, or perhaps yourself 9 years ago, what piece of advice would you give them just to finish off?
You have to reach out. You have to swallow your pride. I know that's relatable to anybody, whether it be civilian or military. You think you're isolated. You think you're alone. You think no one cares or no one understands. There is people out there who care, and there is people who understand. And people experience the exact same things. Reach out. There's never a perfect timing. When I did the open door policy with Andy, I had just gone through literally 2 days before a split, my relationship broke down. So it was never the so-called perfect time or the worst time. It's the time is now. You have to reach out. And when you reach out, you'll be pointed in the right directions. You will get there.
Thank you so much, Rick. And thank you, everyone, for a wonderful chat today. If anybody is listening and would like to know more about the Mountain Way, do head to our website, which is mountainway.org. You can reach out to us by emailing info@mountainway.org. If you have any suggestions for topics or issues you'd like us to discuss, you can email me personally, which is lizzie@mountainway.org. Otherwise, come and find us on social media. We're all on Facebook, which is /The Mountain Way. We're on Instagram, which is the same handle. And we're also on Twitter. So you can come and find us there. Thank you, everyone, so much. Thank you, Rick. I hope we hear from you again very soon. And have a good day, everybody. We're reliant on your support to continue helping veterans living with PTSD. If you'd like to donate, please go to justgiving.com/The Mountain Way. We'd be very grateful.